Hello and welcome to the Noster Compass podcast, episode 29. Yet another packed week. Let's get right into it. The latest news of Noster development. FIPS released version 0.4.0. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks in the release candidates, and now it's actually out there. So go and upgrade your clients. A headline feature is that the NIM MixNet transport layer is now added. So that extends FIPS transport layer agnostic mesh network to yet another privacy-preserving transport layer, which is cool. Also, now there is a opt-in MDNS LAN discovery. So devices on your local network can easily discover each other. And also the FIPS top terminal user interface got some UI improvements and just responsiveness, as well as there are now open WRT packages, APK packages for FIPS shipped. So you can easily add a FIPS node to your router, and then also the entire build chain now runs on Nix. So you have full on different flakes for packaging different targets. And yeah, all in all, good release of FIPS, still making progress and still getting more stable.
So I haven't tried FIPS yet. How stable would you say it is?
The current builds, like you can run it. It's quite stable. It will stay up. It's not necessarily flaky. We're already hitting the getting close to the maximum theoretical size of the mesh. So it might be if there's joining several hundred more nodes that discovery becomes a problem. So, but we're already working hard on a V2 upgrade that should support. I think it's about 4 million nodes, theoretically, at least on the Bloom filters. There will be other issues before then, but we should be able to support much larger meshes very soon.
Oh, that's interesting. Can you speak a bit more about that? Like, where does that limitation come from and how can we engineer it?
Yeah, so the way a discovery works is that every node has Bloom filters with all the other nodes in it. And currently, the Bloom filter, which is basically a compressed set of all the NPUBs that it can reach, if it grows to a certain size, when it's about 50% full, you get false positives. And right now, the Bloom filter sizes are fixed to about, I think it's 2 kilobytes. So if a filter basically fills up halfway, you get false positives. So discovery packets get sent to nodes that shouldn't get them. So it takes longer to actually find the correct route. And the V2 will have variable size Bloom filters. So if you have a small node at the end, can have very small Bloom filters. If you have larger nodes more central to the network, they can have bigger Bloom filters, and they can communicate them to each other also in smaller formats. So if you have a small node that can't take the big filters, they can be folded. They get less accurate, but at least you can have this cutover point where not everyone needs the exact same Bloom filter size.
That's really cool. And one question I had about the NIM transport layer addition, like how much does the actual privacy of the different transport layers affect FIPS? Oh, Tor is supported NIM as well as ClearNet. How does that work?
Well, on metadata leakage, there is very, very little compared to regular IP traffic. But I think mostly it's like traffic pattern analysis that this would protect for, which I think NIM VPN is pretty much the only one that really covers that. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like Tor doesn't provide cover traffic. So if you run over Tor and you have an almighty observer, they can still correlate traffic.
Yeah, I2P has cover traffic. And don't you support I2P already?
No, not explicitly at least. We take PRs.
Prompt requests, I see. Okay, cool. Anything else that's interesting for this release?
It's been mostly been bug fixes, some minor stuff. macOS support got a little bit better, but that's about it.
What about these OpenWRT router packets? What's that about?
Oh, yeah. So I added support for, I don't know if it was in the last release already, for IPKs, which is the package format for OpenWRT routers up until OpenWRT 24. From OpenWRT 25 onwards, there's a new package format, which I added in the last release. So those are supported now. And maybe a little teaser for the next version is that I am adding Wi-Fi mesh so that the routers can mesh with each other, peer with each other without any explicit explicit connection. I think it's called Wi-Fi 802 dot something. 802.11s, which is a way where routers can talk to each other, basically address each other directly by MAC address without having an access point connection. So like without explicitly connecting to an SSID. So I think that's going to be cool because then you can just drop in a router, plug it into a power socket, and you should be peering.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I think that's how Wi-Fi mesh works.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think FriFunk also uses this, for example. So it's not that spectacular, but you just needed to add the config for it so that it's enabled by default.
Cool. Really happy to see all of that progress. Looking forward to the next release.
Same.
We also have a new client launched, the White Noise Linux or desktop client. This is built on top of the new Marmot version 2 protocol that we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks. It's written in Rust and has a Slint user interface. The goal here is to get this feature compatible with all the other white noise Android and iOS apps. This builds on Linux, Windows, and macOS. And this week had some and regular improvements, including that some custom animations that were triggered still render nicely on other clients. So some issues here that custom features of one app might not look nice in another app. So the idea here was to have a separate tag in the kind 9 event rather than putting the special effects in the actual content of the message. So in this way, other clients who don't see these features or don't support them also don't see any text reference to them.
Yeah, the way that that works right now is via an effect tag that other clients just ignore. The previous, like, the effects, like dark matter effect thing, was there just, I guess, as a hack temporarily. The Linux client technically builds to anything. Like, we could even, and I don't think this is a good idea, but whatever, we could even build it to Android and iOS technically from the same source code. Currently, most features work, but there's still a lot of work to be done, especially on the UX side. You know, this is built by one random developer, me, not somebody who knows anything about UX.
What was your experience of integrating the new MDK or the new edition of Marmot? How did that go?
Well, I mean, it started directly with that new version of Marmot. I didn't have to integrate it, so to say. Like, I didn't have to rewrite anything or anything like that because we started with, you know, the new Marmot or what was dark matter, I guess. I think the spec is a little bit more complicated than the original MDK, but at the same time, I think that it's a lot better to work with. Things are more compartmentalized correctly rather than, you know, having everything sort of together. And by that, I mean particularly app components versus all the mess that we had before. Also, I mean, just in general, it's pretty nice to work with, even if it's slightly more work than the initial MDK.
We also have Cast ID, a launch of a new mobile identity vault built for Noster. They've released version 0.1.10 beta, and it builds on top of the Sister protocol, which is a kind of key delegation algorithm or key storage algorithm. So you can store multiple Noster IDs in the hardware security token that you have on your phone, and then it exposes a NIP46 remote signer so other clients can request signatures. Similar to Amber or Aegis or Clave, but one cool new feature that they have is that you can have a challenge token via NFC or QR code that the app will need to see in order to perform the signature. So basically, if someone does not have this NFC token, they cannot create a signature that is needed to tap to the phone to have somewhat of a second factor authentication. Quite interesting. Also, they've improved in this latest release their background connection, the Keep Alive layer. Now only does certain types of queries from the relays, not the full app state. So basically, in the background, the app just needs to know if any processing has to be done, and that can reduce the bandwidth and compute of a background usage of the app. Also, their future plans include some fancy zero knowledge proofs that you can hopefully use in the future. So let's see where their research continues to go. Next up, we have Maiko, a new application launched, version 0.1.0 just shipped. It is a Android app built with Rust, where you can peer-to-peer share insights via the FIPS mesh network. So insights are the Noster native websites, that is NIP5A for static website events, where you have signed Noster events as the manifest pointing to Blossom your hashes for the content of the larger files of the website. And the trick here is that once you have such a signed website, you can for one keep it in local storage, but then also if someone else requests this website, you can give it to them and they can validate the signatures of the website. So since relays are no longer trusted, you can be a relay too. And the idea is to do this transport via FIPS, meaning that you independently or automatically discover new peers if they join your network, and then you will be able to expose the websites that you know to the other applications in your mesh. That works via Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and, of course, internet. So really cool.
Yeah, I started with just Bluetooth, kind of to drive the point home, working on some experimental version of Wi-Fi aware that phones can use to talk to each other directly. But yeah, the idea is that the only thing you need to do to share an app is for someone to hit the share button and the other person just bumps the phone with NFC, automatically pairs with the other phone, which is not on the FIPS level, but above it. It basically is you giving that person permission to read and write from your relay. And that way they can pull the app. And also when they get the app, which is an insight, to their phone, it renders as if it's a native app, like it opens full screen. And the app itself can talk to its local host relay, which is on your phone. But the relay is a bit smarter, where it will also flood the events out to the people that you paired with. So in practice, that means that you can do bit chat as an insight, and the data, so the bit chat messages, will flood the network automatically. So when you post a message, it will flood out three hops away from you. And if you are subscribing to the messages, also that subscription goes out two hops, which means that effectively you can have six hops in between you with no explicit connection, and everyone can still talk to each other. So you can on the fly make, basically on the fly build a network where people can talk to each other without having to explicitly connect to everyone, but just a few people. So there's like the human element trust involved.
That's very cool. And is that one of the first apps that deploys FIPS on Android? And how did that go?
As far as I know, yeah, it's the first app using FIPS. So all what I learned here is I intend to pull into FIPS. So the Android builds, Android has a different way of doing the TUN adapter, which is the part that's needed to route regular IP traffic over FIPS. So that needs to be brought into FIPS, FIPS itself.
Very nice to see how the progress will be and what other apps get inspired by it. That's a super cool.
Yeah, I made one experimental app I thought of because, you know, BitChat is fun and you can use it for a lot of interesting things. But I thought about disaster recovery, right? If you have an earthquake or flooding, you know, all your networks are wiped. I made an incident command, ICS, incident command system, I think it's called, which is a way of communicating. So you can create like a hierarchy where someone's in the lead of, you know, someone creates the emergency, someone's in the lead of medical equipment, someone's in the lead of getting other resources. And you can do all that like on the fly within 10 seconds. You can create this hierarchy of like command where, you know, you set up an emergency help system. So something like that can work very well through the system.
Yeah, really cool. Rebuilding the internet. Going to be fun.
Yes.
And we need a whole bunch of agents to help us rebuild the internet. So we also have a new app launch, and that's the Noster Codex phone. It's a mobile control surface for your local Codex worker. So if you have Codex running on a laptop or virtual machine, now you have a pairing Android client that you can use to send sessions back and forth between you and the agent. So these are Noster direct messages, NIP17, and you have full session support, so you can manage your different sessions and then continue working on any of them, while the majority of bandwidth and compute happens on your remote laptop or virtual machine. So that is yet another another good agent harness or agent communication system over Noster. Good to see that we have so much experimentation here. Also, Coop Mobile, the NIP17 direct messenger, got a couple releases in the last week, mainly around hardening some crash safety, around message parsing and QR codes handling. Also now supported is that you can wipe all the stored data, so all of the decrypted messages, from your phone when you're logging out, so that you can actually remove all of the related content of a user account that you no longer want to use. And also Amethyst keeps preparing for their next release, which features a better support for NIP34 Git repositories over Noster. So you actually have a timeline where you can see issues, pull requests, commits, etc. That's really nice. And also a better support for, or initial support for, NAPLETs. These are the NIP5A events for NSites, but then also a separate NIP for, what is it, 5D, I believe, for these Noster applet, which are full Noster clients with a shared and abstracted runtime for easier exploration of new applications and easier building of them. Also, NIP77 NIC entropy supports lands with the new Amethyst. Again, not yet released, but this will allow you to massively decrease the bandwidth when you're querying events from a relay. And Amethyst is quite bandwidth hungry, so having NIC entropy support for efficient relay connections is good to see. We have Buzz version 3.38. Buzz is the agent friendly chat interface like Slack, on top of Noster, with a single relay per organization. And they had a couple releases improving the relay attack surfaces, including better taking care of the NIP08 owner attestations for signed events, and making sure that the relay stays available and some denial of service attacks are closed. Also, you can now select any model provider. They've generalized that out, so you can use whichever AI provider you prefer. We have NoteDeck implementing NIP37, that's the private synchronization relay, as well as NIP42 calendars and NIP22 comments. So the NIP37 lists or your relays now include a private synchronization relay. So you can store on Nostr and share with your other clients what relays you use, and that list specifically is for private synchronization. So this is part of the Outbox model, NIP65. And also Calendar got a prettier UI. It's now better integrated in the multi-pane design that NodeDeck has. Also, new comments now use the kind 1111. That's NIP22 style. So an upgrade to the more novel commenting system. Applesauce, the popular Nostr web browser app library, has a new release in the 6.2.x series with a NBank SEC import and export support. So these are the Nostr Bunker imports and exports for external signers, so that you can move existing session between clients. And also upgrades to its Cashew bindings with the Cashew TS library up to version 4. We have other interesting releases. That is Mostro Core version 0.14. We've talked about Mostro in the past. It's a peer-to-peer Bitcoin to fiat trading network. So this goes along with the Mostro CLI and the Mostro Core releases or software packages. So if you're running a Mostro instance, make sure you update. We also have changes to NGit version 2.6.1. NGit is the CLI client for Git over Nostr. And merged this week is a Grasp 6 specification for the fork semantics. So this replaces the personal fork tag with a U tag on the repo state events. We've covered this last week in the protocol section, and now it is deployed to the CLI as well.
I just got to say, I love NGit. It's working so much better than GitHub for me. And I really wish more projects used it, because it's great.
Yeah, it's quite customizable, and you can really adapt it to your use cases.
Yeah, I think it's hands down one of the best and most important projects in the Nostr space.
And there are some things that GitHub still does well, other than the kind of social stuff around Git, and that's things like continuous integration and static website hosting. But like, we're getting really close to replacing all of the stack as well. There are a couple CI runners that coordinate and signal over Nostr, and then there's also Endsites, where you can actually host static websites very easily. So it's we're getting there to actually replacing the whole GitHub stack. We also have an update to Mesh LLM version 0.72.0 and 1. Mesh LLM is an inference component for the Context VM stack, which runs open source LLMs. And now they fixed the crash. When you send a really long prompt, then the MCP bridge would crash, and that is now fixed. MISO version 1.4.0. MISO is a shared key collaborative list model. And in this release, they've replaced the MLS-based encryption for task sharing with a simpler addressable event design, where you have a dedicated key and you distribute that across Nostr direct messages. And this uses NIP44 encryption and basically a more simple design of doing encrypted group messaging, where forward secrecy is not so important. Then you can manage the complexity of adding and removing members to a static key rather trivially. So key establishment in a group is always a bit of a gnarly problem. And so MISO is starting to roll their own system for this. We have Cordon version 0.3.2. Cordon is a alternative approach on how to do group communication over Nostr using MLS, similar to Marmot, but it trades off the decentralization for a single coordinator per group. And now in this release, they made that coordinator privacy better, specifically removing the ephemeral sender pub keys from the group message posting and also hardening their join request flow against stale re-requests. Good to see that making more progress. Also, Divine has been shipping lots of PRs this week with a focus on upon others, improving their Noster Connect remote sign-in, that's NIP46, making sure that failure cases are caught properly here. And in the same line, zap.cooking also improves their NIP46 improvements or NIP46 login mechanism, as well as continuing their improvements of the user interface in regards to the composer of writing new recipes. We have Conduit, the NIP99 or Gamma Market spec marketplace, has is now also tracked in the repo or in Noster Compass, and they had multiple PRs improving the protocol compatibility and making sure that the marketplace works well, working very much in tandem with the Gamma Market spec, and making sure that we have a good standard for e-commerce over Noster. Good to see Conduit. We also have Polorama version 1.12 through version 1.13. They have added client tag choices. So you can now choose if the events should say that they were created by Polorama or not, as well as better profile tabs and thread caps to make sure that the UI runs smoothly. Also, there was a bug where newly followed accounts, it disappeared after the app restarted. So that is now fixed as well. We have the Get Wired app with adding a anonymous usage mechanism for or making anonymous posts. But they've introduced NIP13 proof of work as a spam prevention mechanism. So it will take every user a little bit of time to write a note, but a spam attacker who wants to write thousands of notes would spend an unreasonably large amount of compute. So they've added proof of work to their notes, one of Noster's native features. We have Nostui, a Noster terminal user interface client written in Rust, adds a mention timeline tab. So you can surface kind one events in which a pub key was tagged. Good to see even the TUIs of Noster still being maintained actively. Heartwood, a NIP46 Noster remote signer, now adds support for hardware security modules to keep the private keys off the hands of the operator. So this is cool to see. They've also this week added relay to serial signing bridge and a per identity bunker connection, meaning a single hardware device can now hold multiple identities. So basically multi-tenant support landed. And if you're looking or a good remote signer, then check out Heartwood. And in the spirit of signers, also Noster, N-O-S-T-T-E-R, worked on their both NIP7 and NIP46 sign-in mechanisms, as well as the raw NSEC signing. So refactoring of that part of the code, making sure everything is solid. Also the Dart NDK, a Dart-based Noster development kit, extracts the NIP7 remote signer or browser-based signer into a NDK Flutter crate and also randomizes the NIP59 gift wrap timestamps, which is a thing that is suggested in the NIP to-do. We have Milk Market adding NIP23 storefront pages as well as Square payment processing. So you can now write long-form events for your store, kind of like a blog, and also add Square as an alternative payment processor so that you can also receive dirty fiat while you are selling your good raw meal. We have Calendar by Formster shipping an iOS app. So Calendar is the NIP52 calendar application that has so far worked in browser and Android, and now the iOS application is also out there. They're also using Playwright for end-to-end workflow testing for their user interface. So cool to see. Now we have a proper cross or multi-client or how do you say cross-operating system, cross-platform. Yeah, that's it. calendar application on Noster. We have Cagliostro. That's a Go relay implementation enforcing the NIP22. These are the configurable timestamp limits, as well as the NIP13 proof of work and NIP9 deletion of addressable coordinates or addressable events. So if you're running this relay implementation, then consider making an update. Also a quick rapid fire of different cool new projects that we found this week. There is for one Holy Fit, which is a step tracker for Android, where you can publish how many steps you did on Nostr. There is Nunlock, which publishes to Nostr how often you've unlocked your phone. And Saint Stream, publishing what current media you are actually playing in a user status event. As well as Sister Charge, which publishes the battery level, voltage, and temperature every 15 minutes of your phone. So I guess that you can run some diagnostics on it. As well as Celibacy, which publishes your daily phone usage statistics. So all five repos are also for download available on Zap Store. So all by one dev, pretty cool to see. We have both Entrack and Haven. These are two different new live location sharing applications, both for Android. One uses the Marmot protocol, the other NIP17 DMs. We have the Nostr app shell. That is an early stage attempt of having a shell scaffolding for building native Nostr apps. And also a new NIPS project by the Polarama or Formster team. And that is a fork of Nostr Hub, which displays these kind 30,817 community-authored NIPs, which are a way that you can discover nicely Nostr native on what the consensus of different implementations is regarding how they implement a spec. Also here supports following as well as Web of Trusts or global views. So you can have lots of different ways of viewing the spectrum of Nostr implementation specs. And let's get into this week's protocol work and NIP updates. We have finally a merged PR for NIP44, increasing the byte payload above the 65,000 kilobytes that it was before. This was a problem for encrypting large things, including, for example, encrypting a large follower list via a Nostr bunker connection over relays. Lots of relays simply denied the sending of an encrypted payload that was more than 1,000 follows. So that's not even that much. And with this new spec change, it is increased to 4 kilobit. So quite a large size. And hopefully now we won't have issues with hitting these encrypted payloads limits anytime soon. Good that this is finally in the spec. And I know that already some relay implementations allow that to be configured. And hopefully now more relay implementers increase that if they would tolerate the usage. We also have a merged PR to the NIP86 relay management JSON RPC API, which has a sign event method as well as a relay role events. This means that there are now a replaceable events that a relay can publish to declare that it's administrators and moderators who those are. And then that lets a NIP86 client introspect the relay's admin list, as well as verify authenticated requests from the current admin. This, I believe, is being implemented in Amethyst. So you could control your Nostr relay via Amethyst and send it certain requests like adding new users to a whitelist or blacklist. We also have the merged PR on NIP34. That's the Nostr over Git or Git over Nostr spec. We've talked about this last week where it was open. Now it is merged. A personal fork now has a U tag in the Grasp 6 specification. Again, this is to make it easier to see who is currently working and maintaining this repo. Just a better semantic that is already implemented in most clients. We also have merged what we spoke about last week's for NIP46 remote bunker. Client metadata can now be added to the Nostr Connect URL. Again, Amber, Aegis, and Clave, I think, have all already supported this, as well as Porama, I think. So clients have already rolled this out. And now it is merged in the spec as well. We have a new proposal for a epoch-based deterministic NIP17 wrapper. So the idea is that instead of choosing a random key for encrypting a direct message, that we choose a key that is derived based on a course time epoch. So as time progresses, we would encrypt messages to different keys, but we can always get to those keys once we know the root key as well as the timestamp that we want to encrypt something in. And so this would mean that we have better predictability on when a event was written and therefore if it is kind of spam or not, and making it easier to filter to only download from relays the events of a newer epoch. So these are still open for discussion. If you have any thoughts on that, leave your comments on the PR. We have a new open proposal to adjust NIP 59, that is the gift wrap protocol, that relays should reject kind 13 events. These are the inner seal of the NIP 59 gift wraps, which are not supposed to be published. And so relays could enforce this and simply reject events with the kind 13 tag. We also have a new proposal for NIP 29 group states. So NIP 29 are relay based groups. And now a group is proposed to have five different states: open, closed, public, private, or archived, and how to do the state transition between these different tags or states. Also a new proposal for NIP 34, the Nostr over Git, to have optional multi-maintainer support. So this goes hand in hand with the user-based forks that we talked about just a minute ago, and also extends this to now have multiple tags for who is a maintainer on a repo and who has the authority to commit changes. Yeah, this was a long requested feature. People have been hacking around because in the past, NGit was always a single maintainer mode. And now this is the proposal on how to get that into multi-maintainer support. We also have another attempt to support AND operators for relay connections and query filters. So we've already had this conversation a couple times, also highlighted in the early history of Nostr Compass, that it would be good to support AND logical AND operations when requesting some types or range of events from Nostr relays. Nostr natively supports logical OR filters, and logical AND simply makes sense. This is already implemented in Nostr RS relay and Applesauce and Amethyst and a couple other applications and libraries. So now there's another attempt to get it into the spec. Hopefully this one succeeds. Also, the four Nostr Marketplace NIPs that were opened that we talked about in the last couple compasses have all been closed in favor of the current Gamma market specification. So here, that shows that if you want to work on marketplaces, check out the Gamma marketplace before. There were also two new proposals, both about linking some Bitcoin identity to your Nostr account. One is a NIP 352, which is a Bitcoin silent payment address in your Nostr identity. And then also a Bitcoin OTC identity linkage proof. And that was it for the news section of the last week. As you can see, people have shipped. Let's do two NIP deep dives, starting with NIP 86, which is the Relay Management API, as we've covered earlier in the newsletter. So this is a JSON RPC interface for relay management, meaning authorized clients that have a pubkey in the config of the relay to be allowed, or to be the admins, basically, can send administrative commands to the relay over a standard API. So this means that a client who has an NSEC with white label or who is on the white list of a relay can then make API requests to change the actual configuration of the relay. So this means it's an HTTP post API where you have to use the same URI as the relay's WebSocket connection, and then has a method as well as a parameter. And you authenticate these with a NIP 98 HTTP auth-based signature as in the authorization header. So your Nostr client signs with your NSEC the HTTP request, and then sends it to the relay, and the relay checks if the signature is from a key that is in the whitelist of the relay, and if yes, then it executes the admin command, and then responds with a JSON that is either result, or that has the fields result and error. There are a lot of different methods that are currently implemented, and these are ban pubkey, allow pubkey, list banned pubkeys, and then event-based bans like ban event, allow event, or list banned events, as well as relay metadata, change relay name, change relay description, change relay icon, and then allowed pubkey list management. So allowed kind, disallow kind, a list allowed kinds, as well as some statistics. So this is quite standard to a regular JSON RPC service, and yeah, clients can pretty easily implement this. What is new in this week is that there was a new method added called sign event, which instructs the relay to sign a message with to sign a Nostr event with the private key of that relay. So relays can now have a private key, and with this API call, the admin can instruct the relay to sign a message and put it on the relay. So this is useful if you, for example, want to define a relay role in the NIP 86 mode. So basically that you can say the different roles that your relay has and adjust the metadata. And you can do this from any Nostr client that implements NIP 86. And you don't have to go to a custom UI for your relay management. And this is implemented both in Amethyst, as with the recent work, as well as in Stirfry and Kataru, as well as a couple other Nostr relay implementations. Yeah, and that is the gist of NIP 86, the relay management API. The other deep dive we'll do today is NIP 89. That is the recommended application handler. So NIP 89 defines two parameterized replaceable events, which are the kind 31,990, which are the application handler an app developer publishes. And then the second is the kind 31,989, which is the recommendation a user publishes for an app they use. So this means clients can discover applications that support a certain event kind that the actual client that discovered this event does not support. So here developers can make it easy for users that they can notify that, hey, there is some content of this user. This app cannot display it, but check out the other app, which will be able to display this data. So for example, if one app does not support a long form blog, then it can link to one client that can, like Habla.news, for example. So let's go through the two different applications that we have there. First is the application handler event. So that is the app that is the event that is published by the app developer. And here you have the pubkey of the developer, the timestamp, as well as the kind, and then a D tag, which is the identifier, for example, long form reader version 1. The K tag is the kinds that this client supports. So, for example, the long form kinds of website of the client, for example, or iOS and Android as well. So you can have the deep URLs that open the client in the different operating systems or environments, as well as a content, which is the actual text on that describes what this client does, as well as the name, and then a signature. So you can verify that this is actually coming from the developer. And now the second is a user recommendation event that again is the kind 31,989. It has the pubkey of the user, as well as the timestamp and the kind number, and then the tags of the D tag, which means it refers to the type of kind that you use this application for. as well as an ATAC, which is a NIP1 address pointer to a kind 31,990 handler event. So basically the event that you point to the event where the developer published the application and what type of kinds it supports. And you basically say that for this kind number, I use this application. The content tag is empty, and then you simply sign the event. And this way you can tell your friends that, again, for these types of events, I use this type of client. And this goes somewhat hand in hand, where with some events, clients add a client tag, where they can say that this event was created by this client. And that leads to even more discoverability of other applications. And this also ties together to the NAPLETs, which are the Nostr native applications on a shared runtime. They also support this, and that is quite useful to have for the NAPs as well, the ability to say which client supports this application natively. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive for the recommended application handlers, and also the end of the newsletter. So thank you very much for joining us this week again. Thanks to all the builders for shipping awesome stuff. And thanks for my co-hosts. See you on the next week.